This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, if you live in parts of St Albans or Welwyn Garden City, parts of Hitchin or Hatfield, you might well have seen 20 mile an hour signs popping up on local roads, speed bumps appearing, and variously neighbours being delighted that something's being done about cars using the road as a racetrack, or being disgruntled about more wretched speed bumps and 20 miles an hour being unreasonably slow. Speed limits and 20 mile an hour limits in particular are a divisive issue. But the brave man who's taken on the review of Hertfordshire's speed management strategy is Councillor Paul Zukowski, County Cabinet Member for the Environment, Transport and Growth. I spoke to Councillor Zukowski and I started by asking him why he thinks that Hertfordshire needs slower traffic. Surely there's just too much traffic on the roads, and the quicker we can get each car from A to B and off the road, the better for everybody.
Well, I don't think that is the case. And one of the things that the administration that I'm a member of is very keen to see happen is for communities to have more of a voice in whether the speed limits are set to 20 or 30 or 40 or however fast. And what's really interesting is the idea that actually, you know, implementing 20 mile an hour zones and slowing the traffic down would actually make journeys longer and our roads more congested. And actually, when you look at the evidence from places like Cornwall, from Wales, from other places that have done significant 20 mile an hour zones, the data shows very, very clearly that actually you have less cars on the road. Those cars can move closer to that speed limit, and actually you can speed most journeys up. And the reason for that is a lot of people do a lot of really quite short journeys. Okay, those are journeys that they could do by cycling or walking instead. But most people don't want to do that. And most people are sometimes even fearful of doing that because of the risks that they perceive in terms of being engaged with traffic, being on the same bit of tarmac as traffic. Actually, what we've seen with 20 mile an hour zones is it encourages people to walk and cycle for those shorter journeys. And if we can encourage that modal shift, the shift away from cars to other forms of transport, we can actually reduce congestion because people find 20 mile an hour zones a much friendlier place to cycle and walk.
And do you have any evidence from around Hertfordshire that lower speed limits encourage people to walk and cycle, or are we relying on evidence from other parts of the country?
I'll be perfectly honest, I've not asked that question of officers, and therefore I've not been presented with that data. But certainly when we're looking at data that has been shown to me from other areas of the country about blanket-wide 20-mile-an-hour zones, it has been really, really clear that actually it has encouraged people to walk and cycle more. I don't think that Hertfordshire is going to be a special case. Why would a housing estate in Cornwall be different from a housing estate in Hertfordshire in terms of its response to 20 mile an hour? I don't see that as a sensible argument.
Now, you've cited the benefits that have been experienced in places like Cornwall, places like Wales, and certainly one of the things that Wales found was a reduction in road accidents and fatalities. So it does look like lower speed limits are beneficial, but also, you've spoken about choice as well. So around Hertfordshire, when you're talking about lower speed limits, is consultation a baked-in part of the process before these speed limits are implemented?
It absolutely is, yes. So when you say baked in, it's legislated. So we can't undertake the process of reducing a speed limit from 30 to 20 without consulting local people. But the formal consultation process is quite regulated. It's relatively inflexible, and we have to do it in a particular way. What we are looking to do is to talk much more with particular community stakeholders about whether they want significant 20-mile-an-hour schemes to go forward. So when I'm talking about significant community stakeholders there, I'm talking about parish and town councils, residents' associations, and I'm talking about other community groups like that that speak for their community. And we're very keen to hear from parish and town councils and other organisations that want to see 20-mile-an-hour zones in their area. And we are utilising that input in the decision-making process about where we will advance 20-mile-an-hour zones. And it's not the only thing that will determine whether a 20-mile-an-hour zone happens or not. But one of the key factors going forward will be whether there is community support for that scheme.
Okay. So in the places where the roads are appropriate and there is community support, presumably it would be actually good to see lower speed limits sooner rather than later. And Colin's got a question. He wants to know if you are going to still require the collection of speed data for roads before implementing a new speed limit, as he says that this data collection was very slow and held things up hugely. So will you still be needing this data collection? And what other things are you doing to speed up delivery and make sure that those areas that want and need lower speed limits can get them as soon as possible?
There are two aspects to answering that question about how we have looked to increase the speed with which implementation can happen. The first is the data. Collecting speed and volume data in the past has been really quite clunky. One of the things that's happened relatively recently is there has been a sea change in the availability of good quality road data from IT companies, particularly organizations like Google Maps. We've bought that data now, and it's just starting to filter through into the system. So in projects going forward, it's unlikely that we will need to collect that speed and volume data before we then do anything subsequently. The second change is in terms of the requirements in areas where road speeds are higher than we would like. So the previous administration had taken the view that actually what you had to do in areas where, you're proposing a 20-mile-an-hour zone and the road speeds were 27, 28, 29-mile-an-hour average, the highways guys would have to go away and produce an engineering solution to that. So speed humps or junction tables or chicanes or something that would slow the traffic down to make it compliant with that speed limit. We've taken that requirement away. So one of the things that has come out of the changes we've seen in Oxfordshire on 20-mile-an-hour zones, in Cornwall on 20-mile-an-hour zones, Wales on 20-mile-an-hour zones, lots of the ones in Scotland, we've got lots of data about what's happening on different types of roads. And the higher the road speed, the bigger the drop in average speed. So if you have a road that's at 22 miles an hour and you put a 20 mile an hour zone in, actually you might only see a 1 mile an hour drop in average speed. But if you have a road speed average that's 28, 30 miles an hour, you might see a 4 or 5 mile an hour drop in average speed. So the faster the road speed, the more effective that 20 mile an hour zone is in reducing road speeds without any of that infrastructure. So what we've done is ask officers away and look at how we're delivering those zones so that the engineering isn't over-engineering. So putting loads more speed humps in than we really need to get average speeds on the roads to be close to the speed limit. What that has done is freed up money so that we can go and deliver more of the schemes.
So perhaps if we live in an area of Hertfordshire and we currently have a 30 mile an hour speed limit and we'd really like it to be 20 mile an hour, we find the roads too fast. How do we find out, well, for start, if our road is being considered for 20 mile an hour, and if it's not, how can we make a plea that it should be included?
Previous administration, given their due, have done quite a number of schemes across Hertfordshire, in particular areas already. We're looking to increase that number and deliver more areas. Finding out where on the list your area is is quite challenging. And so I understand residents' potential frustration with that. But your county councillor will be able to ask that question and be able to get a definitive answer.
Excellent. And we focus very much on the move from 30 mile an hour to 20 mile an hour. How about if we live, particularly in a rural area, on a road where actually the speed limit is much higher, perhaps a 60 mile an hour? Are you doing anything about speed limits more widely?
We're actually looking at rural roads and whether some of the roads that are national speed limit actually should be changed to be what I would describe, and I think is an official characteristic of it, as a quiet lane, which is a much nicer environment for cyclists, for pedestrians, and so on, because the speed's limited and also the vehicular traffic is limited on some of those lanes. We're looking at some of that around the county. I'm quite keen on that because the interconnections between towns for cycling and walking are some of the things that people say again and again limits their use of active travel modes. But one of the underpinning structures within the county council's strategy is a thing called the speed management strategy. And previously, if vehicles were moving along it at 50 miles an hour, the lowest you can make the speed limit is 50 miles an hour. Now, that's not delivering for some of our communities. And I can give you a really good example. There's a road called B197 in Welwyn Garden City that goes past the front of a school. And it's currently designated as a 60 mile an hour road. And previously, the local member had approached the county council administration and said, can we reduce the speed limit? They'd done a speed and volume survey. It had come out that the speed average speed was 50 miles an hour. So the response from officers, well, we can reduce it from 60 to 50, but it's still a road going across the front of a school with school children on it. The local community clearly wanted that road to be slower. And so we're looking again at the speed management strategy as a whole and saying actually what the community thinks this should be a key factor in how we determine what the speed limit should be. In that particular case, we're using it as a pilot, and we've already agreed to reduce the speed limit to 40 miles an hour. Now, there are other issues in that particular area. It's a dual carriageway. It's an area that's just come off the A1M, the majority of traffic, or just going onto the A1M. It's quite open, it's quite wide. People want to go faster on that road than is perhaps consonant with being outside a school. There's no safe crossing of that road. So some of the highways officers are going to be looking at whether a signalised crossing in the future might be sensible in that location. So we're doing other things. We're also looking at whether we can promote active travel better along that corridor and make the cycleway a more pleasant environment to cycle down. But yeah, I mean, reduction on that particular road to 40 miles an hour is already happening. And, I'm keen for other areas where that kind of road is going past critical community infrastructure, come forward and say to us, challenge us and say, we don't think this road should be at this speed. And if there is a community consensus that it should be slower, then we will really seriously look at it and see if we can reduce the speeds.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And finally, we've got a question from Deborah, who is a nurse in A&E, and she wants to know if you've got any plans to work more closely with the police so that these speed limits are better enforced. She says that she's sickened by the appalling carnage on our roads that she has to deal with in her work every day. So how about more work with the police there?
I sympathise entirely with people who see the results of road traffic accidents because too few of us realise the risks sometimes that we take when we speed and the impacts that we can have on other people, let alone ourselves. In terms of working closer with the police, absolutely. And the part of the local travel plan, the speed management strategy sits under the local travel plan. One of the other strategies that sits under the local travel plan is the road safety strategy. And it goes to an extent hand in hand with the speed management strategy. And there is an interplay between the two. The road safety strategy is not really owned by Hertfordshire County Council. It's the Road Safety Partnership that leads on the road safety strategy. And we're looking at actually going out to consultation really quite soon about what our road safety strategy should say. But it's very much led by the Road Safety Partnership, of which a key player is Hertfordshire Constabulary. And we've already seen some really useful and positive conversations with the police about the use of more modern approaches to speed management, things like average speed cameras and so on. And there seems to have been a real positive change, get these things to happen more quickly and more effectively to try and enforce speed limits a little more effectively than perhaps has happened in the past. So some really positive things coming out of the police just now.
Paul, thank you so much for joining me on Environment Matters today and telling us all about that.
No problem, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
I was talking there to Councillor Paul Zukowski, County Cabinet Member for Environment, Transport and Growth. And Councillor Zukowski was there talking about lower speed limits, making roads safer and less intimidating for people on foot or on bicycles. And whilst, of course, there are many environmental and other benefits to swapping our cars for active travel, one of the most important is a reduction in air pollution. Whilst the swap to electric cars will get rid of the polluting gases, sadly, brake and tyre wear still produces harmful dust. And air pollution is a problem for all of us, but particularly for children. And if you'd like to hear about steps being taken to protect children who go to school in areas of particularly high air pollution, then head to the podcast page of mix926.com and check out the podcast called Schools Benefit from Air Purifiers. A big thank you to those of you who commented on last week's show about train travel to European holidays. Turns out that quite a few of you have decided that future holidays won't involve air travel. Stephen says that him and his wife are fed up with catching bugs whilst travelling by air, problem they don't seem to have on the train. And Hannah points out that coach travel is often more affordable and covers more destinations. Good point there. You can get in touch with me and tell me what you think via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com and look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. I will be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.